Hey team, Frances here with a quick bonus episode for you. I had a lovely chat with Jim Mora over the weekend on RNZ Sunday morning. We chatted about everything from possible KiwiSaver changes to what's happening with renting and buying property and whether we should really be worried about the brain drain to Australia. His team were nice enough to say I could repost the chat here, so here you go.
A week of sensation in Parliament and recriminations over Jan Tinetti from Labor's question of Brooke Van Velden in Parliament about the halting of pay equity claims. That's been discussed enough since, including earlier this morning. But we are going to talk about the core issue of what is affordable now in a country struggling with a current lack of wealth. Ahead of the budget, we have some quickfire questions to put to Frances Cook, former business desk investments editor, podcaster, and best-selling author of Your Money, Your Future, and Tales from a Financial Hot Mess. Good morning, Frances.
Kia ora. Always lovely to chat.
Is this really the time to rent, as I have seen opined? Because the latest data from CoreLogic suggests that times are still tougher for renters in New Zealand than at any time in the last 20 years. So when this discussion arises, what's your view?
Yeah, look, I think it is really hard for renters in general. It's a situation where you feel a bit disempowered, I think. It's your home. It's really important. And yet you're not in charge of a lot of the decisions that go on with that. And it has been a really tight rental market. Look, one bright spot in it, though, is I got some figures from realestate.co.nz, and that shows rental listings are up 44%. If you've been thinking about moving, great time to check out your options and maybe lock in a gain that you don't get very often.
Yeah, the stock issue suggests continuity too. I do remember, Frances, at the turn of the century when the major media envisioned a flat housing market, you know, seemingly stretching into near infinity, and then 9/11 came along, other events. We just don't know. It's very hard to, obviously, to see the future and know what is best.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, you know, I even look back in slightly more recent times, who saw a pandemic coming? But when there is a good situation like now, when there is more stock on the market, if you've been thinking about moving house, if you've been thinking about that sort of thing and you've been struggling with the rent, I would say take advantage of these situations while they're going on, because we never know how long they're going to last for. Strike while the iron's hot.
Housing affordability is at its best level since 2019, which isn't saying much, but Westpac foresees an improved average growth rate rising to 3% in 2026, and the housing market continuing to improve with annual growth of 6% for the year. But prices aren't moving much, so when will they?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing with the housing market is it's an interesting one, because prices got so high and then so did interest rates all of a sudden. Now, of course, we've had interest rates settle down a little bit more. We've had people looking at the housing market. Now what we've got, there are more buyers on the scene. There are more people looking to buy, particularly the first home buyers, sniffing around and thinking, ooh, maybe I can get a bargain. But where that would usually be good for sellers, we've also got more sellers now, because everyone held off. Everyone who could hold off on selling their house did, because the market was so bad. And now they've sort of been holding on long enough. They're seeing more buyers. A lot of those budget crunchers are still crunching even harder, so they kind of need to move if they're going to. So we've also got more people trying to sell a house. So more buyers, but also more sellers, which just means it's still not great if you're trying to sell a house. That's why the prices aren't moving too much. Worldwide, interest rates are probably not going as low as they might have otherwise. Interest rates are probably going to stay a little bit higher because they're still battling inflation. They're still battling tough economic times. So interest rates have such a massive impact on the housing market that actually house prices might not bounce back up as high as people were thinking they were going to. We could see house prices bounce back up. I wouldn't be betting on them hitting some of the levels that people were hoping for previously.
Before I get back to owning a house, I mean, the IMF expects New Zealand to have the largest general government primary structural deficit this year of any advanced economy. So there'll be hard choices ahead, won't there, for the government in finding money to spend and what to spend it on. and our exports look healthy. But yeah, you're saying there are lots of buts, and there are lots of unknowables.
Exactly. You can see in the way the government's talking about the upcoming budget that they're still extremely concerned about our economy. There is not much spare cash around. So it is looking better than it was, but unfortunately that's not really saying much. Sorry to be the bad news fairy.
Asking for a better mortgage deal, which I've seen you advise and other people advise, exactly how do you do that? And will banks be receptive given that rates are going down?
I tell you what, the best budget change you can ever make is one where you pay less money and get the exact same thing. So if you can, you know, negotiating things like your power price is a great one for that, where you get the same power coming in but for less. But if you own your house, negotiating on your mortgage is another one where you can save thousands. The figure that I've got is that around 51% of New Zealanders do not even ask for anything from their bank. They just take the advertised rate, lock that in, carry on with their day. The way to do it is to really take the time to make yourself look like a strong bet to the bank. You need to look like a really good investment to them. So you're trying to show that you've got a really good employment history, that you've got good income. Even if you're self-employed, I know it's hard for the self-employed people out there, but have things like a spreadsheet of all the deals that you've got locked in that are coming up so they can see that your business is going well. Go into a 3-month spending freeze, or at least as much as you can. Be a real angel with your spending 3 months before you come up to those negotiations with the bank. No debt, things like that. They don't love debt. And then you go in there looking like a really good bet to them. And then you want to ask for, there's more than one thing you can ask for. You want to get the lowest interest rate you can. You know, look at the interest rate they've got and then say, can you do me anything better? You'd be surprised how often just that will work. But you can also ask for cashbacks. You can even see if they've got a good rate on a related product like a credit card or insurance, if you can get a deal on that. So there's all sorts of deals you can get just by asking. And it is so worth having. I mean, an uncomfortable conversation that earns you thousands of dollars. It's worth it, surely.
Okay. And you know people who are doing this and who've reported back to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So many people who I've talked to who have knocked off sometimes tens of thousands. I mean, when you look at, you know, the standard 30-year mortgage term, because it's going for so long, even a tiny adjustment in that interest rate, even if you get 0.1%, that can be so, so worth it. Just give it a crack. What have you got to lose?
And there's KiwiSaver. Now, what are your concerns about KiwiSaver? Nicola Willis says the changes she'll announce will be positive. What's your take on this at the moment, ahead of the budget?
The changes we've seen to KiwiSaver so far have not been great. They removed the $1,000 kickstart. They reduced the government contribution by half. KiwiSaver already has much smaller perks than standard retirement schemes elsewhere in the world. I mean, I know Australia is a richer economy than ours. I know they have different things to play with, but we are already losing so many New Zealanders to Australia, to those higher wages, and they're busy, you know, matching. They're busy giving the super contributions of 12%, never mind 3 or whatever, and there's so many tax advantages. But the idea of cutting back on the KiwiSaver perks even more. I saw some stats recently about it's not just the numbers of people going over to Australia, it's the age and the life stage. And so we've always had 20-year-olds heading out there and experiencing the world and going out to work overseas, and that was kind of fine. What we're seeing now is there's been a bit of a demographic shift where we're seeing people in their 30s and 40s or even retirees who are heading out of New Zealand, and they tend not to come back because they're more established. They'll set up a career and then other people follow them, siblings or their parents. When the grandkids arrive, they want to be closer to the grandkids, so they go over too. And the people in their 30s and 40s are the very, very valuable ones to our economy. They're the business owners. They're the mid to upper level management. They're the ones who have the skills. So that's what concerns me. If we're seeing those demographics changing, I think that's a real canary in the coal mine.
One last thing to ask you about. From Oz, there's super tax coming on unrealized capital gains. Mr. Albanese said, don't worry about this. It only affects the very rich. But there was uneasiness, which is true, but there was uneasiness about any tax that might take money from your theoretical gains on the share market, for example, when, as we've recently seen, those gains can vanish into thin air. So you're being taxed on a far higher value of your shares and the share market's just crashed. What do you think of this approach from across the Tasman? Does it worry you?
Yeah, got to say, just after I said that Australia's got a better super system, this one's a bit of a worry. Look, I don't have a problem with tax in general, and I certainly don't have a problem with if people earn more, they can pay a bit more. Often those high earners have got plenty left over, so they're fine. But this sort of thing where you're saying, oh, if something technically goes up in value, if you sold it, it would probably be worth more, and so we're going to tax that. Well, it's all in paper. I mean, anyone who's sold a house can tell you, real estate agent can come round and quote you one price. Whether or not you get that is entirely a different story. To me, it looks like a very confusing tax system, riddled with the possibility for unfairness or, you know, even people getting around it by playing different games of where you take it from. I mean, the enforcement would be nuts.
Frances Cook's been with us. Always nice to talk to you, Frances. Well, we'll await the budget and see what news is in store.
I know, I can't wait to see what's actually there. Let's get past the rumours and see what's there. And I am crossing my fingers that they're not messing with KiwiSaver too bad. I will be very annoyed.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.